folks, welcome back to Indaba Africa. This is Chris once again. Hello, folks. Welcome back to Indaba Africa. Sorry for the slight hiatus this week. Wasn't possible for me to do broadcast of the news, but welcome back to Indaba News of the Day. Let's get started right with the headlines. Here we go. In South Africa, South African President Cyril Ramaphosa signed a new law against corruption. It's called the Auditing Profession Amendment Act. South Africa's government is planning yet more lockdown measures against its own citizens after it panics over events unfolding in India. This is related to the pandemic. South Africa, which was experiencing over 22,000 confirmed cases of COVID in January of this year, now has less than 1,000 cases of COVID per day, yet plans to continue destroying the country's economy, undermining social cohesion, and causing utter chaos. Why? The deadline for African National Congress Secretary General Ace Magashule to resign or step aside has come and gone. Is anyone surprised? He still remains as the Secretary General of the African National Congress. Botswana, Namibia, and the United States have signed a memorandum of intent for a mega solar project that will benefit the two countries in Namibia and Botswana. Speaking of Botswana, Gaborone's central bank now expects inflation this year to top 6%, well above the high end. They were predicting 3 to 6%, now expecting it to exceed 6% for the year. And 22 million years, it took 22 million years for a meteorite to travel from the asteroid belt to land in Botswana in 2018. Namibia's government has linked 84 doctors to a medical scheme fraud. Also in Namibia, the red locust plague continues to devastate pasture and cropland with massive losses across the country. The African Union has sent a fact-finding mission to Chad in the aftermath of the recent killing of sitting President Idriss Deby, who was in power from 1990 until he was shot and killed. Well, we believe he was shot. We're still here, the confirmation, but he died at the front just recently after just winning re-election on the 11th of April. 18 more people murdered in continuing widespread violence in Burkina Faso. And Tunisia has asked the International Monetary Fund for a loan. Accra's parastatal mobile provider, Airtel Tigo, will get a cash infusion from the government of Ghana. And Ghana has sent its army to prevent illegal mining across the country. Germany plans to, throughout the course of 2022, repatriate bronze sculptures and other artifacts which were taken from Benin during the late 19th century, early part of the 20th century, and kept in collections in Germany. This repatriation will return pieces from a place that used to be part of the German colonial empire. Benin, much of Benin was part of the former Togoland that was a German colony, not the modern Togo, which included modern Togo, but also part of Benin. And these artifacts will be returned after nearly a century, or over a century. And in a case of a genuine insurrectionist paying the price, a genuine, actual, real insurrectionist here in America was fined $12 million for his part in arson and looting a Minneapolis police station last summer. So Ramaphosa signed this new law into effect, and this law is about the auditing profession. Now, if anybody thinks that the African National Congress has even a scintilla of credibility when it comes to fighting corruption, then I've got some swampland I'd like to sell you in Arizona. I'm telling you, this is absolutely insane. Would you like a beachfront property in the central Kalahari? I can hook you up. No credibility whatsoever. No credibility whatsoever. Now, for his part, Finance Minister Tito Mboweni has said that the act would help restore the profession's reputation, which has been damaged by numerous accounting scandals in recent years. Well, I have a suggestion. Much like all of the endless laws passed in this country, how about you simply enforce the existing laws, and then you won't need new laws? You don't this fascination by leftists to pass laws to restrict your freedom and independence in the idea that it's going to help improve things when they don't even enforce the existing laws on the books. They won't enforce these laws. Just smoke and mirrors, this new law. South Africa's government once again is considering another lockdown as the so-called third wave is supposed to be coming. We've been hearing about third wave forever, but this is a panicky response to events unfolding on the subcontinent, where India is seeing a massive spike in cases during the pandemic. But South Africa now with less than 1,000 positive cases per day, down from 22,000 just a couple of months ago, is taking a bizarre position that they're going to lock down and yet destroy the economy further. One has to wonder what's happened. Back in March, President Ramaphosa eased restrictions as the rate of infections dropped, scrapping most of the alcohol sale bans, shortening nighttime curfew, and permitting larger public gatherings. But there are still massive restrictions on liberty and freedom across South Africa, including religious freedom, that have yet to be rescinded. We shall see what happens going forward. Secretary General Ace Magashule of the African National Congress is still in office. Now, Magashule is implicated in a corruption scandal from when he was the premier of the Free State involving hundreds of millions of rand, in which money was purportedly diverted and payoffs took place. He's been under suspicion for some time, court cases proceeding, yet he remains as the Secretary General of the African National Congress. The party told him to step aside, to resign, and he has refused to do that. Is anyone remotely surprised about what's happened here? On the 29th of March, Magashule was given 30 days to step aside from his Secretary General position while he faces corruption charges to the $255 million Free State asbestos audit contract while he was premier. That deadline, come, poof, gone. And he's still here. He spent last month running around looking for support to back him in his corner in the anti-Ramaphosa faction, including people like Jacob Zuma, Matthews Poza. We shall see. But the ANC once again fails in its prima facie duty and responsibility to control its party and to govern the country legitimately. Ace Magashule. And in a project, a memorandum of intent between Botswana, Namibia, and the U.S. for a mega solar project. I really don't know what a mega solar project is. The title of this is given all caps, Mega Solar. Perhaps that's a company or the project's name itself. But it doesn't indicate how much electricity could be generated from this. Also, the article that I read here from a site in Africa is talking about some very op-ed-like commentary here. It says the mega solar project has potential to bring renewable solar power to hundreds of thousands of homes and businesses in Botswana in the next two decades. Well, that would mean essentially all of Botswana. There's only hundreds of thousands of homes. There aren't millions. The project could transform Botswana from net importer and consumer of unreliable coal power to a significant producer and exporter of renewable solar power while also reducing Botswana's carbon footprint. The irony of that is that that's completely backwards. Solar power is what is unreliable. Coal-fired power stations are highly reliable. Now, they release carbon dioxide and sometimes sulfur, depending on the quality of the coal. That's true. But the author of this article is completely backwards, and that's a little bit disturbing. U.S. Ambassador Craig Cloud said, "We're thrilled to see this mega solar signing ceremony take place. It's an important step towards our collective dream of a scalable cross-border solar project, a concept first discussed in April 2019. No, I discussed this in the American Embassy in the year 2000, in 2008, 2009. We're excited to be working with Botswana and Namibia to expand renewable energy production, enhance energy security while addressing climate concerns." Yeah. Please spare me, folks. Spare me the nonsense. How much electricity? How much does it cost? When will it be built? Who's funding it? Where will it be built? And where are the transmission lines going in? Those are basic questions that should be answered, but not available from ESI Africa. Botswana Central Bank sees the inflation target for this year being breached. Expected between 3 and 6% the second quarter of this year. They've seen that it's already going to surpass 6%. Very distressing news for Botswana, who are already reeling from an economy that suffered greatly as a consequence of the pandemic. And 22 million years to journey from the asteroid belt to Botswana. That's a long trip, folks. That's right. On the morning of June 2nd, 2018, an asteroid was seen careening towards Earth at 38,000 miles per hour. There's nothing anyone could do to stop it. Sounds like a Hollywood movie. Astronomers were beside themselves with excitement. The five-foot-long object weighed as much as an adult African elephant, just burned through the atmosphere, and then exploded 17 miles above the surface with a force of 200 tons of TNT. Wow. Fragments of it scattered like buckshot all over a national park in the Kalahari, larger than the country of the Netherlands. So they immediately went out and started searching for it. They found a meteorite, and this meteorite... It's the cosmic ray imprint traces on this asteroid by looking at the atomic nuclei. The traces suggest the asteroid crashed into Earth, bathed in this radiation for 22 million years before it got here. Trying to figure out where this came from, they believe it came from Vesta in the asteroid belt. A 6-mile-long crater named Rubria on Vesta is the best candidate for where it was blown off of Vesta and then made its way 22 million years to Earth. Pretty amazing. There you go, folks. Botswana, 22 million years. That's a long flight. If you think you've got a flight delay, check that one out. Namibia's government has linked 84 doctors to fraud. The Namibia Ministry of Finance accused 84 doctors stealing millions of dollars through the government's medical aid scheme. According to Namibian Daily, the Namibian, doctors are accused of fraud and abuse of the Public Service Employee Medical Aid Scheme, or PESIMUS. They launched a civil action against the doctors and have threatened to institute criminal charges against others. Each year, the Namibian government allocates millions of dollars to boost the healthcare system. The amount is aimed at subsidizing medical expenditures in the southern African country of about 2.6 million people. This scheme covers 240,000 beneficiaries across the country. Shouldn't be surprising to folks that someone tries to take advantage of government-provided money. Meanwhile, across Namibia, this red locust outbreak is continuing to be devastating. Namibia is struggling to contain a third wave of the red locust outbreak, which has now destroyed 719,000 hectares of grazing land and 1,207 hectares of crop fields in 10 of the country's 14 regions. Very disturbing. These things are just eating them out of house and home. The African Union has sent a fact-finding mission to Chad to figure out what's going on after the military essentially suspended the government and started its own military regime for a period of 18 months with the son of President Idriss Deby being installed as president. What will happen from this mission? Probably not a whole lot. I think we can tell the AU pretty much everything they need to know about what's happening in Chad without traveling to Chad. Nonetheless, an African Union mission has arrived today, the 30th of April, 2021, in Chad. In Burkina Faso, the violence continues. Just days after expatriates were killed, two Spanish journalists and Irish conservationists were killed, and a Burkinabe soldier also went missing when his anti-poaching patrol was ambushed by rebels in the country's east. We now have another 18 people in northern Burkina Faso who were killed and one seriously wounded in what was called a massive displacement of people. Salfo Kabore, the governor of Sano province, which is where these attacks are taking place, said unidentified gunmen carried out the attack on Monday, earlier this week. Many local residents fled towards the capital of the Setenga commune, while the wounded person was taken to hospital in Burkina Faso's capital, Ouagadougou. Burkina Faso, this is something this country really didn't deserve, but is dealing with. Meanwhile, Tunisia is looking for money. They've turned to the International Monetary Fund to help them with a shortfall of cash. Last year, Tunisia's economy shrank by nearly 9% as the pandemic took hold, hitting the vital tourism sector. Tunisia relies heavily on tourism from Europe, particularly from Germany and also from France, and that took a big hit last year as European tourists weren't on the beaches or on the golf courses in Tunisia. The economy is expected, according to the IMF, to grow as much as 4% this year, 3.8 to 4%. But their budget deficit was 11.5% last year, and they had already received $750 million in emergency assistance from the IMF, yet now they've come back looking for more assistance from the IMF. Ghana plans to stabilize its recently purchased parastatal Airtel Tigo, which was the result of a merger between two companies. The body-owned Airtel merged with a local company to form Airtel Tigo. Now, Ghana bought the company for $1. Why? Because it is the third largest operator in the country with 20% of the market share for mobile communications. But here's the thing. Why is Ghana buying a communications company? Why was an outside investor or private capital used to buy this? This is not a good idea. Now, Ghana acquired Airtel Tigo this month from Bharti Airtel and Millicom International Cellular, which combined their local operations back in 2017. So they, with 20% of the voice subscribers, they were trying to move up to second place, competing against Vodacom. But the thing is that this is not the best move. Why is the government going to now use tax dollars or oil revenue to prop up a mobile carrier? There's a reason the carrier was failing. Ghana has sent its army to enforce a mining ban near rivers and lakes. They've launched a nationwide operation to clear illegal miners out of their water bodies. So yet another use for non-traditional use for the military. In many countries in Africa, we see in Kenya, we see in Botswana, we see the military being used for anti-poaching operations. We see the military being used to put out forest fires. The military being used for election support, non-traditional military activities. And here we see the Ghana Armed Forces now being sent to stop people from mining illegally near water sources. It's understandable why they wouldn't want them mining illegally, because people tend to use dangerous chemicals and minerals and things like mercury to leach out gold, for for instance. And so this winds up in the water table, destroying fisheries and destroying water sources and poisoning them. So it's understandable why someone needs to crack down on this. But the bigger question here is, why doesn't Ghana have a natural resources force? Park rangers, forest rangers, conservationists who have the ability to do this. Apparently they do not. They're relying on the military. Meanwhile, in 2022, throughout the year, Germany intends to return as many as several hundred, 530 objects to Benin. The Humboldt Museum in Berlin has these, includes over 400 bronzes, yep, from the ancient royal kingdom of Benin. And that will take place throughout the year 2022, returning these objects to the place where they came from. And finally today, lots of talk about insurrection by the sitting Manchurian cadaver here in America, falsely attributing a mild riot to a genuine threat to the Republic, ignoring the assassination of four U.S. presidents, the attack on Pearl Harbor, 9/11, the bombing of the U.S. Senate building, countless other things telling us that the events of the 6th of January were the most serious threat to this country. Unbelievable. A real threat, a genuine insurrectionist, was arrested in Minneapolis. He's now been fined with $12 million for helping set the Minneapolis police station on fire. That's right. Dylan Shakespeare Robinson, 23, was ordered to serve 2 years of supervised release. Supervised release? How about 20 years in prison for insurrection? On the night of May 28th, Mr. Robinson chose to depart from lawful protests and instead engaged in violent destruction, said Acting U.S. Attorney Anders Volk. The arson at the Minneapolis Police Department's 3rd Precinct put lives at risk and contributed to widespread lawlessness in Minneapolis. Indeed, it did. Indeed, it did. But Robinson's lawyer, William Masary, said the client is being unfairly singled out, adding there's no realistic chance he'll be able to pay off the $12 million fine. I don't really care if he can pay it off. That's sort of the point. Sort of the point. He joined a crowd of rioters shouting, burn it down, multiple times in front of the building, according to authorities. Three other people have also pled guilty in federal court for their roles in the arson incident. Bryce Michael Williams, 27, Devon DeAndre Turner, 25, and Brandon Michael Wolf, 23, previously pleaded guilty to one count each of conspiracy to commit arson. There were 4 dozen separate places of origin for the arson, according to the attorney. Well, it really doesn't matter whether there are 4 dozen. Your client is a criminal and an insurrectionist who flouts against the authority of the United States. Well, folks, thanks a lot for tuning in today, the 30th of April, 2021, to Indaba Africa News of the Day. It's good to be back, and we'll try to keep you updated on the news from across the continent and those from outside the continent. Catch my live stream later today once I come back from the clinic, and I'll be talking about China punishing Australia and also about an interesting tribe of people in South Sudan, among other things. Thanks a lot for your support and patronage here with Chris White Africa.